2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
On to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Check. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Scotty. How are you doing?
I'm great.
You sure you're doing good?
Well, when you say that, that makes me feel like there's something that you're going to say that's going to put me in a bad mood.
Not at all, man. We're just in the home of the hearing test, man.
Yeah.
We're just here helping people get better hearing.
Let's go.
You've worked with it. My dad has been working with them. When my dad loves a company, that's when I know it's good.
Yeah.
When my dad gives it thumbs up, then I'm like, all right. Now we've got affordability. We've got good customer service. We've got good representation. Like, they've got everything. Because when Clark Olsen's like, yeah, they're good.
Because like, he doesn't say that about
very many people. No. So it's not quite Gephardt, but it's Clark Olsen approved.
I'd say it's more stringent on the Clark Olsen.
Yeah. Yeah, Clark Olsen's less likely to approve anything than Gephardt. That is absolutely true. So, love being here. This is one of our homes away from home, and can't wait to get into trying to help some more of our listeners. Anything that we can do to help listeners improve their life.
It's what we're all about.
I'm all on board.
Yeah.
Really quick, wanted to give a shout out to all the moms and dads that are about to embark in their high school football and volleyball and sports and everything's considered. I just want to give a shout out more specifically to the moms even than the dads that throw the kids, the stinky kids with the stinky pads in the car, drive, sit in long lines, have all these different kids and coaches that they got to come through and talk to, pay all these fees for their kids,
yep,
and then pay an entry fee to get into some stupid scrimmage,
yep,
so that they can watch their kid. Like, parents are going above and beyond, and I just want you to know, Scotty and I are in the trenches with you. Scotty's in the trenches right now with the padded football thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the trenches with you, but not as deep because I refuse to pay an entry fee. I'll stand outside if I have to. Because I'm not going to pay my kids' fees and then pay an entry fee.
And then buy a ticket.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got these sports media passes that we can get into high school games,
yeah,
with. Like, I'm not going to pay for a high school game. And if I was a parent, it would be really tough if I was a parent without a sports media badge. It'd be really tough. Because you pay all these fees and dues and then they're like, $15 for entry. And you're like, wait a second. Can't you just take from the $550 I just paid you about a week ago? That'd be nice. No, sir, this goes to help fund the band. And it's like, all right, well, I guess we're going to have a band. And that's awesome. So let's watch the marching band at halftime, and we'll cheer for them.
Oh, don't get the marching band parents mad at us.
No, I love the marching band. You know I love them, Scotty.
No, you don't.
No, I love them. Absolutely. They are very much a part of the pageantry that is high school football and college football. So they phase out when you get to the mature levels.
No,
that's not what I meant. I didn't
They're a real big part of college. It fades out when you get to the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I love it, and I just want the parents to know that Scotty and I, we get it. We're with you. Because it starts now. Tomorrow is the first game. My son is having his first little whatever. So I got to sit in crowded areas and buy tickets for the family. And
yeah, everybody wants to go. Now grandma and grandpa can go too.
Yeah, now that is cool. I'm hoping, I don't know. Because it's going to be all kinds of crowded. And they're not about the crowds. So maybe they won't go. I won't blame them if they don't.
Hey, you know what? If you can't go, I highly recommend you log on to KSLSports.com because they're going to stream. It seems like every single game under the planet or under the sun is available at KSLSports.com.
How cool is that?
Yeah. By the way, some really cool programming, too. You know Dusty Lister a little bit, don't you?
Yeah.
Dusty and his crew do a tremendous job of going around and facilitating a lot of the streaming. We are actually going to have a high school Red Zone show, a game night live Red Zone program Fridays at 7 o'clock on the radio. That's going to be hosted by Dusty. And because all these games are being streamed, he's going to do kind of a whip around to all these games. So when a game gets really closer, let's say a team's inside the 20 and about to punch it in. Hey, let's go to Alta Bingham. Let's go to Lone Peak and Pleasant Grove. Let's go up north to Clearfield Davis. And all that stuff's going to be available for you right here on The Zone Fridays at 7 o'clock.
If you're a high school football fan, we got you covered.
Yeah.
So that's every Friday Dusty's going to be doing that?
Yep.
That's a pretty cool deal.
I know. It's going to be fun.
So he's got the streaming. He's got all the different games in front of him. And he'll just click over, watch all the different games.
And you'll hear all the audio of it right here on The Zone.
That's really cool. I think that Utah is growing in the love and support of high school football. It's not anywhere close to the Texas thing. The high school coaches still here in the state are getting absolutely nothing for the amount of time that they put in.
No.
You know, I just shouted out moms and dads for the long drives and the expensive tickets and expensive entry fees and all the things that moms and dads pay for and the crowds that they have to deal with and their kid not playing or their kid playing too much or the broken arms. Dude, I had a bad situation. Big shout out to my friend Holly out there. So she's got two. Her boys aren't big. Her boys are lean and they're little receiver types.
Wiry.
And she's like, I just don't know about this football thing. And I'm like, oh, no, you let your kid play football. Yesterday I got a picture, and Zach broke his arm in half.
So, oh, boy.
Heartbroken about that one. Bad call on my part.
No.
Look, you know, it's not a bad call.
It's just growing up. It just happens. It was either going to be on a football field or on a bike. Somehow. That arm was getting broken somewhere.
Well, he'll recover, and he'll get himself back into football. But, you know, the parents sitting in the – in all these emergency rooms. I also want to shout out the coaches because, honestly, they do this for nothing. And I sit there waiting to pick up my son trying to figure out why they do it. I do. I'm sitting there watching the coaches, like, in the hot sun, screaming. Yeah. And remember, I did about 6 weeks of high school coaching before I was fired.
You weren't fired.
I was let go.
No.
I was forced out. I was squeezed.
I think it was a, hey, you know, if you have other things you want to try, maybe you should try them. It was a suggestion.
It was, we're firing the offensive coordinator and we're asking you not to return with him. Like, that's how they addressed me. And I realized, because my contract was like $1,200 for the season.
Yeah.
And I was still playing professionally. So it was an off season. So I was making good money and I was just going to check out this coaching thing.
See if it's something you wanted to do.
And I'm like, holy crap. You're telling me the assistant coaches that spent time in the hot sun with me when I was in high school, they were making this piddly amount? You're telling me they were doing that because they kind of liked kids and the hot sun and the game? And I'm like, geez, man, they're better people than me. You'd have to pay me $85,000 to stand there as an assistant through the year. I wouldn't do it.
For a high school season.
Not a chance. Having some kid come to me and say, Coach, not going to be practice this week. I got to sell my pigs at fair. I'm gonna sell your pigs at fair, you moron. We got a game in 2 weeks.
By the way, that was a real thing up in.
Oh, I know. I had three of my offensive linemen.
Yeah,
that missed like a week before our first game.
You shouldn't be missing a week.
It was a week.
Okay. Well, that was them milking the system.
It was 3 days. It was three practices. It was 3 days.
See, we missed, and it got so bad because our coach came from Texas, and the thought of missing games because of the fair was the craziest thing on the planet, or missing games because of the beet harvest. Crazy idea.
Yeah.
And then he realized that he wouldn't have a team if he didn't.
Well,
so we had two-a-days that took a day off so everybody could sell their animal at the fair. True story, yeah.
It took a quick call from a principal of, hey, just so you know, these guys are going to miss and they're going to practice when they come back. And it's like,
and you're not going to penalize them.
Yeah. No. Yes. It's like, no. Yes. It's like, okay. So how are we going to win a championship like this? Well, everybody's selling pigs at fair. No, they're not. Not the guys that are serious about the game of football.
That's good money, man.
And
that pays for college.
And as an assistant coach, having a parent come up to you and be like, so what I'm seeing is that when my kid's in, he's doing so much more, but I don't understand why my kid isn't in. And these coaches deal with
I couldn't handle that many
things. I couldn't either. There's not a chance.
No, want no part of it.
Like, I'm watching the volleyball coach, this girl's volleyball coach at Lehigh. He's doing everything he can. He's trying to establish, you know, a culture, and he's trying to really get, because it's tough. That's a really tough division, and women's volleyball is very tough at the high school level. It's really tough here in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
It's great volleyball here. And I'm watching this guy, and he's just dealing with all kinds of things. And I'm like, and he's a good guy, and he's a good coach. And he doesn't get paid enough to deal with that crap. And I just appreciate coaches out there that do it for the love of kids and the time that they put in. Coaches need to understand, too, they truly impact high school coaches specifically.
They
impact a kid more than any other individual in a kid's life, if that kid is committed to sports.
Yes. No, I think we all will go back to our high school coaches. We all have those figures. Now, look, you know, you love your parents, but there's always that one or two other adults, and more often than not, it's a coach that you credit for a lot you are as a person for the rest of your life.
Yep.
But, boy, I mean, just hearing you talk about that, like, I'm just – you know, we joke about coaching a flag football team. You know, I had my son's flag football team. It's the only time he coerced me into it. I didn't want to do it. I did it, and I will never do it ever again. Never again. Because you spend a week of practice, and you're like, this is what we're doing, and you have two or three kids that are going to have a big part of that game, and everything kind of hinges on them and their ability, and it's kind of built around them. And then 30 minutes before the game starts, you get a text like, Bobby's, he has a soccer game that he's going to be going to.
Dude.
Or he's not feeling well. And you're like,
it just kills me.
And you're like, what am I going to do? Me. I don't have enough players. Or that kid was going to be such a big part. And so 10 minutes before a game, you're like, hey, Jabroni, come over here. You're playing quarterback now. And he doesn't want to do it, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and then you end up losing by a significant amount.
Oh, this is so brutal. So, coaches, every coach out there that is running an honest program and that is doing what he can for the kids and the program, love and respect you. Even if you're the equipment manager that's running out there trying to help, if you're the team dad, because I'm not even going to be the team dad. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard around any of my kids' programs. I want to be the furthest one away because I don't want anybody to be like, well, that Hans Olsen sure stomps in on the action, doesn't he? Like, I just don't want to be that dad. And so coaches and everybody else that works so hard, and parents that bring the food, and it's incredible to see what high school football entails nowadays.
Yeah.
Back in our day, man, it was not this. A parent wasn't responsible for a team meal once a week.
Wait, you guys got to pay for a team meal?
Yeah, the parents, like, they come together. They'll establish, like, seven parents that are responsible to, you know, feed a team once a week for the team gathering before game night and stuff. There's some programs, there's some groups, high schools that do that here in the state. and the parents come together and they put together the spaghettis and all the stuff, and they make it nice and convenient for these kids.
How about the kids just go to a gas station, get a burrito, and show up? And why do they have to be fed?
That's what we did.
What kind of pandering is going on out there?
18-hour-old corn dog with a mustard packet.
It's been on the roller for 10 hours. You get a 50% off.
Some of my mom's fudge. Jeez. Stashed away.
I have a team meal. You don't need a team meal. What is this?
Football pants. I'm just telling you, Scotty, it really is incredible what parents and football programs are doing nowadays. Coaches just don't get enough respect. And even the bad coaches, I try to give the bad coaches as much respect as I can. Because even the bad coaches are doing something I don't want to do. It's hard nowadays. Parents are weird.
No.
Kids are weird.
Yes. All of this is very true.
And parents, the kids of the weird parents are typically the weird kids. And it's tough. It's a tough world.
And honestly,
for coaches,
you could be winning games and you could be having a reasonable amount of success. And if you get enough parents that are upset, you're done.
Yeah.
You're gone.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to sit here and give a ton of advice to parents, but the more you can back away from the coaches will approach you. If there's a problem with your kid, if he's a thief, if he's some type of criminal, if he's a pervert, if he's an underachiever,
yeah,
if he's bad at academia, whatever it is, the coach will approach you and be like, hey, little Johnny can't keep his hands off other people's dollars in their locker. So you probably ought to talk to him about it. Or, hey, little Johnny, he's not playing this week because we can't get him up in Miss Johnson's class. He can't find a way to get a D in Miss Johnson's class.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
The coach will come to you. Otherwise, just stay away. Let the coach do their thing.
And if your kid's not playing, not good enough.
When your kid comes home, sit him down and talk to him. That's a novel concept. Like, really? Really sit down and chat with him. What type of work are you putting in? Well, they're not playing me. Okay, well, tell me all the work that you're putting in. I guess some parents out there might not quite understand the hierarchy of football and what a kid has to do to be able to take a position from an upperclassman. But in order to take that position, you got to fight like a dog. You know, my son is a pretty big recruit. He's going to be a great football player. He's fighting his butt off because there's a senior on a state championship football team. There's actually four seniors across the front, and then the other one's a junior. And all of them were the starters last year for a state championship team. And I keep telling him, that will never be given to you. If you don't go own it, it's not going to be given to you. And you can't come to me and say, oh, I'm not getting the reps, because I'll look at you and say, you don't deserve them until you get them. I mean, it's that simple. And sometimes I think parents get a sideways story from their kid of how they're being treated or where they start. You and I have been around the game long enough. We see the guys that didn't play.
Yeah.
We know what those guys were about. We know why they didn't play. The very few times was it ever in all my 20 camps that I went to, and all the years that I played football, very, very few times. I don't even know if I can think of an individual that should have been playing that wasn't.
No. If you're good enough.
I mean, I'm trying to think.
There's not a lot of coaches out there that'll be like, you know what? I really don't like that kid. He's a real pain in the butt. He's really, really good, but I don't care. I'm not going to play him. Like, that just doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
Because the coach needs to win.
If the kid is showing hard work and consistency, he gets the favor of his teammates and he advances. And if your kid's not advancing, sit down and talk to him. Ask him if he's taking the proper steps. Okay, did your kid wrestle or play basketball? Did your kid go with the team to the off-season camps? I know all these things cost money, and I know that it's a broken system. I know because I'm a parent that's paying way, way too much for volleyball. I've been overpaying for volleyball for many, many years. And I just talk about the respect I have for coaches. I know that the amount I'm paying into club volleyball for one girl, I know these coaches are making bank, so they're well compensated. But, Scotty, you have to ask the question of, are you doing everything that you need to do to be getting the start or to get the reps or to be happy? And I try more often than not, 99% of the time, I try to back the coach.
Yeah.
And that might feel wrong for a lot of parents out there. You know, this coach that I was talking about, there was a short suspension because of an issue, and parents were all kinds of upset about it. And I stood back and I thought, all right, if my kid's a part of that, whether they threw the middle finger or didn't throw the middle finger, suspension is fine. You shouldn't be an idiot.
Yep.
When you're doing team pictures, and that shouldn't get posted. And there were parents that won't back a coach. Try backing a coach so he can try to build a bit of a culture so that he can help a kid.
So much of what you do and how you treat your kids is going to set a precedence for who they are. Like if you bail out a kid or you complain about and you don't have a coach's back, that kid's going to have a problem with authority for a good chunk of his life.
Absolutely.
Because of it.
Absolutely. And I've seen kids' growth really stunted.
Yeah.
Because of a helicopter parent that feels like they got to come in and chew out a coach because of one thing or the other. I'm not dismissing all actions from coaches. Coaches can be wrong. They can make mistakes. 100% they can. But I really try to listen to and back a coach and then help my kid understand, all right, well, you want to play? Figure out what this coach is looking for and go do it.
100%.
It's just crazy coming into high school football season. Always gets a little ants under my skin, man.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We are live here at My Hearing Center, and Matt's hanging out with us once again. And let's see, which mic are you, Matt? I think you're that one. How you doing?
I'm good. That is me. There we are.
There we go.
It's good to see you.
Yeah.
What's new?
We got new hearing aids.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is it Widex or Widex? Or?
Widex. It's like Windex.
Okay.
Without the N, Widex.
Can I open this thing?
Yeah, please do.
Holy cow, man. This thing looks like a Porsche. This thing looks like a Porsche holder.
They've done a good job boxing it. The size of the hearing aids are amazingly small. I love this. This is the charger right there.
Oh, that's what they put into?
It's like opening up a convertible.
Oh, look
right?
at that. That's pretty
nice
cool.
Little movements there. Makes it fun.
I wanted to start with this, Matt. We talk a lot about kind of Scotty's experience here, but
sure.
I was saying that you've got the Clark Olsen seal of approval. My dad.
Yeah.
And he doesn't approve anybody.
Well, that's impressive then.
It takes the right price. It takes the right customer service. You know, he is very, very particular with the way business is handled. And I'm just grateful to you. I'm grateful to your company because my dad really did need hearing help.
Yeah,
he needed something fixed, and now I see him with his hearing aids on, and we had a big family gathering over the weekend, and he was engaged, and sometimes he clicks it off because I'm loud and obnoxious.
But that's my choice.
But that's my choice.
Yeah, that's his choice.
He can hear what he wants to hear. And yeah, what's nice is when there's a conversation that is interesting that I'm not involved with, he turns them on, and it's awesome. So,
hands is gone. Here we go.
Here we go.
But, you know, the great thing is you can turn those on and off. Based on your phone, you can listen to something on your phone through your hearing aids. And you talk about, you know, you have a lot of people out there have a stereotype in their mind of like who might need hearing aids, and it might be somebody that's 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest, I'm 40-ish,
almost 40.
And
creeping up on it.
But I'm going to be honest, like I've been wearing headphones, and I had significant damage to my hearing. And it was impacting my relationship with my wife. Is impacting my relationship with my kids. That might be a little bit more choice on that part. But but Matt got me. Let me try out a pair, and it's honestly life changing. And there's a lot of conversations that I was hearing stuff, Hans.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. It was like a wall of sound. I couldn't differentiate if I'm at a restaurant mm-hmm. or if I'm at a concert or if I'm at a game or whatever. And I'm just hearing a fire hose of sound coming at me. I couldn't differentiate what was being said directly in a one-on-one conversation. Huh. And the ability of these things to be able to filter those things through, it's just truly amazing and, frankly, life-changing.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of our patients say very similar things, Scotty. They, when they go out to restaurants, they just think that's normal, right? It's normal. It's a loud restaurant. You're not supposed to hear things in restaurants, and that's a normal thing. And what they don't realize is with very simple technology, a quick appointment, and the right programming, we can have you actually hearing in places like restaurants. We can have you hearing in your family gatherings when you want to, when hands isn't there being boisterous. We can have you hearing the other things. And so what's fun is you're not alone. There's other people that feel that just like you that don't maybe have tried hearing aids and didn't have a good experience. Maybe they haven't thought they were the right timing for them. And this is why we're looking for 100 people to come and try this new Widex technology. We're going to talk more about technology later and how cool it is, but it's a brand new technology. We need feedback because it helps us understand whether or not this is the right fit, a right product for our patients. We've got other products that I know Scotty and Hans, your father, are in. Mm-hmm. So if it's not right, if the Widex product is not right for you, we've got other things that we can fit you in. But we're going to give anybody that calls right now an opportunity to try this product risk-free for 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, we're going to give them a gift card to the Home Depot as a thank you.
And whether they buy it or not.
Yep. And the other thing I think is important, the evaluation, which is a really extensive process, to really find out, that is free as well.
Yeah. Yep. If you call right now, it's a free evaluation. And we're going to give a set of these away this month. So if you call right now and schedule an appointment, we'll put you into a drawing for a free set of these hearing aids as well.
The evaluation is awesome. I watched my dad go through it, and basically you put them in a booth. It's a soundproof, looks like booth, and you run them through a bunch of tests, and it didn't take forever.
No.
But it is very thorough to find the depth of your hearing loss and figure out what hearing aid is best for you.
And I know we tailored back our tests a little bit more on your dad because I think he was getting a little bit done.
He's getting a little salty.
He was getting a little done. So we'll actually take a little bit more time with some of the patients
based on your mood.
Based on how well done you are.
Yeah.
if you wanted a rare appointment or if you wanted a well done, we'll get you. Get the right kind of appointment.
Scotty had a rare appointment because it was like in a break.
In a commercial break.
Yeah. Scotty's original appointment was very rare.
But we came back and did a more extensive one, too.
I really want people to jump in and check this out. It's important to me. Jump in and check this out and see how you can be helped.
It's a good time. So whether it's yourself or a loved one, like you said, Hugh Hands, it took a loved one to really encourage that motion. And without that loved one's help, a lot of these people just don't do anything about the problem. So if it's a loved one, handhold, hug, bring them in. We're going to treat them really softly. Come in with them. We'll do some voice testing. We'll actually use the loved one's voice in the testing to do some speech and some speech and noise testing. And or if you just know you have a problem and you're ready to do something about it, give us a call.
801-438-7058. 801-438-7058. The evaluation's free. 30 days risk-free. And at the end of that, whether you keep them or not, you get a gift card to the Home Depot. 801-438-7058 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. Live here at My Hearing Center. Call 801-438-7058. All right, Hans, a lot to break down, a lot to look forward to. By the way, Mitch Harper is reporting that BYU is making some equipment, or excuse me, some stadium. Are you reading this?
No.
Apparently, there's going to be a stadium slight renovation with a terrace on one of the corners, all designed for donors and a certain level of sponsorship. Upgrade that seating, upgrade those amenities, make the stadium experience a little bit nicer for people that are of a certain income bracket.
Yeah, we've noticed that. Professional sports, college sports, going away from the middle-class seating and really giving the high-end seating. They're done trying to target the people that are scraping to try to come up with the money, and they're ready to just give those seats and make them luxurious seats, but more expensive seats to the higher paying folks. And that's pretty much every pro in college sport that you got. And I get it. It's just good business sense.
Yeah.
It sucked for some because it's taking seating options away for some, but it's just the trend. It's the way we're going. More box seating, more VIP seating, more comfort seating, more catered seating, to try to make the experience great for the people that can truly afford it. And it used to be a thing where it was like, yeah, open it up. Just throw a bunch of benches in a stadium and we'll charge $10 and let everybody that can squeeze their hips onto these bench seats. Well, anybody that can pay $5-$10, we'll just keep it cheap. Try to get 100,000 people in here on these bench seats.
Make the money on the beer sales.
And make the money on the concessions.
On the Cougar Tails.
And now it's like, well, we boosted the prices all the way up to $25, and then people were complaining about being cramped on the bench seats. So then we tried to put in some extra chairs that kind of give you your width and have the number assigned to it. So then we had to bump that up to $45 a seat. Now those people are having a hard time paying the $45. Screw it. Take all those seats out. Build a big box, throw in five rows, make it lean back, lazy boy seating, and charge $2,000 to the people that can afford it.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring in a catering service for a small fraction of that $2,000.
So you look at what the Jazz did 3 years ago and they remodeled the arena. The old capacity used to be 19,911 for the old Vivint Arena. Renovation happened. Capacity now is like 17,300. They ripped out 2,000. You're like, okay, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. No, because they want to make the experience better and charge more for it.
And if you haven't experienced the renovations, and I've experienced them on pretty much every level, it's incredible.
It's awesome.
It's absolutely incredible. And you, for those of you that have experienced the Jazz games and the new renovations, they've got these entrances that are mid-level on the lower level, these new entrances that they put that go right back into kind of a VIP section where you can go back and, you know, take the kid that's being too rowdy or go back and get an ice cream sandwich or go back and use very clean restroom facilities. And you've got everything just, 20 steps away from your seat.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about mid-tier pricing. That's why those mid-tier seats go for so much, because you get a wristband, you can come 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes before the game, get some insane barbecue, a couple of slices of classic pizza. You could throw a bunch of popcorn in a bag, grab a soda, and just walk 30 steps, sit down in your seat, and get to enjoy an NBA game. And it's a bummer because you and I, when we were growing up, we wouldn't even have been able to sniff that arena. And that sucks. That's a bummer. We wouldn't have been able to sniff it. But guess what? That's what major sports is coming to, because you're paying athletes and coaches so dang much. And I know TV revenue brings a lot of that in, but they're looking at the dollars and cents of things and saying, we got to recoup this. Take out the mid-tier seats, put in the luxury seats, let's charge them a hand and a leg, and they'll pay for it.
Yeah.
And we'll all be happy. And you mid-tier class guys, you can watch it on TV. You watch it on TV, and then we'll use the revenue of your eyeballs. We'll use that revenue in a different way.
Yeah. Utah State played at Houston, a basketball game, and they just built a brand new arena. And their old arena University of Houston. This was
basketball arena.
Basketball. This is about 4 or 5 years ago. And they had an old arena that sat like 14,000. Their new arena sits only 8,000. That's it. And you're thinking, my goodness, 8,000? And Houston's played big boy basketball for a long time in the college basketball ranks. And there's, but they said, we are going to make the experience so incredible because not only are you not only are you fighting against the ability of, well, let's just say this, the home experience has increased so much.
Oh, man.
With HDTV, you can go to Costco and buy a 85-inch TV, beautiful 4K, for like
bucks.
$800.
Yeah.
And you bring that in, you buy a sound bar, you get a nice couch for, you know, a grand, and you're sitting back and you're not paying any concessions, no parking, and you have an incredible visual experience to watching sporting events.
It's so nice.
And so these basketball and football stadiums are looking at it like, okay, how do we compete with that? Well, you don't compete with that by having some dude sitting in your lap because you're so crammed together. That's miserable. So let's make the experience so much better by being at the arena, all the stuff that goes on during timeouts, the food opportunities, you're comfortable sitting. As you mentioned, you got the barbecue, you got the pizzas. We're going to make it as easy as possible because that's who you're competing against is the home experience. And so you have to make it exciting. You have to treat it almost like a rock concert to go along with the sporting event. The food's got to be on point, and people need to be able to feel like they're attending an event.
Vivint Arena did that. Vivint Arena nailed it. That place is as incredible as it could possibly be, in my opinion, because I've had a couple of different experiences, and I've had the upper tier, and I've had the VIP experience in there. And every experience in that arena right now is worth its price. Truly.
Yeah.
So I got into an argument with a fine gentleman, very, very nice man. But I got into an argument with this nice man about prices to things like Disneyland and others because prices are skyrocketing. And the argument was, all right, do you want these parks to be so jam-packed that the experience is completely wrecked? Or do you want to make it elite enough that families save for a year, a whole year, because they can't go 3 or 4 times, they save for a whole year, or maybe they save for 4 years. And they go once, and it can be a slightly more enjoyable. Because, you know, I went to that air show.
Yeah.
That Ogden air show where they waived the ticket price for a year. It was free to go. There were 600,000, I think it was like 600,000 people that came over the weekend. I still enjoyed my time. I loved the air show, but it was so congested that I felt claustrophobic inside that crowd. And lines, there were lines that, and I believe our own Nate Dowdle, they shut the door on him, said, sorry, we can't take any more.
Yeah, get out.
And so the argument is, well, is that what you want to do? You want to overcrowd it and completely ruin the enjoyment of it? Or do you price it? So it would price me out.
Yeah.
It would price you out. But Nate Dowdle, he could go.
That was well done by you. I like that.
You know, Nate's thinking in his mind, like, next year this air show better be $2,000 a ticket.
Because I don't want to deal with anybody.
I want 10 people here, and I want that front row.
Yep.
But that's where we are in the world of sports. So, you know, if we see seating reduction, I'm fine with it. Reduce seats all day long. And if I get to the point where I'm like, I have to go to a game, then it's like, all right, that's a lofty investment. But we're going to do it. This one time, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, look, I was just on a cruise ship. And honestly, you're sitting at the buffet and you're like, all right, I want to enjoy my shrimp cocktail and all this other stuff. And you see a family that comes in and no disrespect, but they got like 6 kids and they're getting their grubby paws and they're touching everything and they're coughing and spitting and yelling and running around and tripping all over stuff and touching everything. And you're like, how much more would I pay to be on this cruise so that they would be priced out? Like, because in my mind, there's a number.
You're on the cruise for, what, a week?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say I paid $1,000 for the week. Okay?
Okay. might be a little bit more than that, but yeah.
All right, let's say I paid $1,400.
Okay.
We're going to try to get it.
It's $1,000. Keep it an even number.
Say I paid $1,000.
Okay.
I'm to the point now where my kids are just getting to that age where we're starting to open the door and take a foot and just, no, we're ushering.
Yeah, I got you.
We're helping them
flee
the nest. But getting away from kids and not having them, like, at the salad bar dipping a spoon into the mushrooms that falls into the ranch dressing and then having the lettuce fall into the cheese and the egg crumbles fall into the olives.
Pick up a cookie, smell it, look at it, and then put it back.
And you're just sitting there like, I'm pretty sure I governed my kids better than that. Like I think I did. Maybe I didn't. I'd go for the week. I'd go an extra $400.
Yeah. Same. If it meant that they weren't going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what arenas and stadiums are doing. Because you got these people with a lot of money. They're like, well, I'm going to bring my brat kids and I'm going to pay $24,000 for our season tickets, for our family season tickets. And then you've got that middle class that's like, oh, geez. Honestly, an extra $100 out of their month it's really not comprehensible. Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't have thought that when I bought the cruise, but while I was in the middle of it, if somebody on that cruise ship said, hey, you see those little kids? They're monsters, aren't they? They're disgusting. They're horrible. I'm like, yeah, right. He's like, guess what? We have this other floor of the cruise ship where kids are not allowed. Families are not allowed. It's just you have to be have to be over the age of 21, but it's an extra $400 per person per week. Had somebody got to me at that moment and asked me that, I'd be like,
take it,
let's go. Get me away from these little rugrats.
That's where we are in the world of consumerism, yeah. Man.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 1248. What you may have missed coming up next.
Latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 1254, what you may have missed right here on the zone.
You worried about Tom Brady taking off for a couple weeks from Tampa Bay camp for personal reasons?
Dude's 40, he's probably taking his kid to college for crying out loud.
Dropping him off at his dorm.
He's got big boy commitments. He's a grown man.
Todd Bowles was just riddled with questions after practice today and everybody wanted to know what's going on with Tom Brady, and they want the details and they want the specifics because it's Tom Brady, but all he said was he's doing some personal things, and everybody just keeps grilling him like, "By what do you mean by personal things? Like, is he in bad shape, bad health? Is the age caught up with him? Is he getting sunspots removed? Like, what is the problem?" Bowles said that his confidence is pretty high that Brady is going to be back for the Dallas Cowboys opener, which is September 11th.
Whoa, he's pretty sure?
Yeah, so he's...
Now, that is a little concerning.
Now, he's guaranteed that it's August 21st is the soonest Tom will be back, but he would not commit to Tom Brady absolutely being back and ready September 11th for the Dallas Cowboys game.
So you've seen Aaron Rodgers say, playing preseason games is stupid. I've been in this league long enough. I'm not playing preseason games. And he shouldn't play preseason games.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to. Russell Wilson doesn't sound like he's going to play any preseason games. Eric, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like they're going to sit him out the entire preseason because he doesn't need to. Tom Brady doesn't need to play in any preseason games. But when you start talking about him not being at camp and then also not being back at soonest, what, August?
September. The very soonest he will be back that's committed to is August 21st.
That's a good chunk of camp.
Uh-huh.
Now, Tom Brady's been around the league long enough, it probably won't impact him, but you tell me. I mean, you've been in these camps. How important are they for a guy that's been around the league forever?
That's such a tough question to ask. I just can't imagine a world, and I was only with Peyton Manning through three camps. So it's not like I knew, it's not like I knew every tendency of his entire career. I joined with the Colts Peyton Manning's fourth year, I think, in the NFL. So I was with him fourth, fifth, and sixth camps. I can't imagine a scenario, even as good as he was then through those camps, couldn't imagine a scenario where he'd even miss half a day, not even a practice. But the weight of the world was still on him to get to the Super Bowl and to hit the accomplishments, to put him in the enshrinement in Canton. Like, he had the whole world in front of him. He still had to do everything.
Tom Brady is a 22-year veteran, though.
I still can't even imagine. I still can't even imagine Tom or Peyton Manning missing Broncos camp when he showed up with the Broncos.
No, he didn't. No, never happened.
And at that point,
and played in preseason games too.
Yeah, at that point, he'd had pretty much everything in his back pocket. So my guess is that whatever Tom Brady's dealing with is pretty significant. Because I don't think he'd leave this team. He may back away from practicing. He may back away from preseason games, but not being present at camp, I just can't see that from a Tom Brady that's recommitted to trying to win a Super Bowl again.
I think that we can all agree this is his last year. Like, this, he's done. Yeah. Probably should have walked off in the sunset with that Super Bowl, even though he had another tremendous year last year, but it's time.
As far as him showing back up, let's say, so that Dallas Cowboys game, their opener is September 11th. Let's say he shows up September 8th. I still start against
the Cowboys. Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, we're still rocking and rolling.
I don't even know who the backup is there.
Yeah, he's taking the snaps and we're rocking and rolling. Even if the guy's like, hey, I just put in 3 weeks as a starter.
Good for you. Now hold this clipboard.
Shut up. Give me your helmet.
So what you're saying is you did your job. Good.
Yeah, you did your job. Yeah. And guess what? If Tom gets hurt at any point in the game, you'll be better for it.
Yeah.
But this has to be something significant for Tom Brady to leave camp for a minimum of 2 weeks. It must be pretty significant.
Oh, Giselle's upset about something.
I'm so tired of having to do this on my own. All right, honey. I'll be home for couple of weeks.
Can you be here to take the kids to school?
to college.
I got it. Matt's hanging out with us. We're live here at My Hearing Center, 801-438-7058. If you're trying to tune out your spouse, okay, well, that's one thing. But if you really have legitimate hearing loss, then we need to get it taken care of. And there's so many medical issues that can be caused. Like, you know, we've talked about Alzheimer's. You know, hearing loss could be a contributing factor. When that part of your brain starts to shrink, that also is right next to the area where memories and long-term memories are held onto, and that area can shrink with it.
Yep. I mean, you put it in great layman's terms. It's really easy to understand that if you're not exercising your body, right, then you're atrophying. Your muscles are going to atrophy. And if you're not standing up and walking and moving around, well, yeah, your legs are going to atrophy. But guess what? So your arms, because you're not using your arms either. Same thing with the brain. If you're not using your cortex in your brain that helps you with hearing, if it's not being stimulated, then it's atrophying. Then yeah, the part that helps with memory and understanding, that's going to atrophy as well, and it's going to affect you other things, you know. So it's important to take care of your hearing, you know. But like you just mentioned, selective hearing is actually a real thing. We do have people that come in and they don't listen to their spouse, and they'll get their hearing tested, and it kind of backfires on them a little bit, if you will.
They're right? Actually hoping
they're
they
like,
have
oh,
hearing
loss. Oh, wait a second. Yeah. No, you don't have hearing loss. You should be able to hear me. And, you know, I always like to counsel people. The best thing you can do when you have a conversation, I have normal hearing. I don't need hearing aids. My wife has normal hearing. She doesn't need hearing aids. But if we're having a conversation and we're one's in the basement, the other one's upstairs, it's not going to be a good conversation,
yeah.
Right? Because you have to yell. And
that's a good point.
Anytime you yell, it changes kind of the temper of that conversation.
Absolutely.
So you can talk about something very simple, but if you're yelling.
And when you have to repeat it like a second and third time, third time it is tempered. Yep. It's like, I told you.
And then you're like, hey, why are you yelling at me?
Yeah, yeah. Or if you're by a fan. You know, my wife was cooking yesterday and she had the vent above the stove on, and I was trying to talk to her. She's like, listen, this isn't going to work. You're just going to have to stop.
Yeah.
So it's always good to be in good situations. Another thing I love to tell people, if you're communicating, simple thing, just say their name before you say anything else. Right? I want to talk to Hans. I say, Hans.
Yeah.
right? And then that the brain, it just locks in. The brain loves your name, and it locks in, and then they start paying attention. So those are good things if you are having a hard time communicating.
So let's say one of our listeners right now is hearing this and is thinking, I might have some damage here.
Right.
I might need some help. What is the time commitment for them to figure this out? How long do they...
Well, the first thing I want to say is if you think there might be something going on, don't put it off. I think it's natural for us, right? It's summer. Maybe we are getting our kids back to school. We're going on that last weekend trip or you know, it's whatever, you know, a number of things. We've got to clean up our backyard because we're having a barbecue. This, whatever it is, don't put it off. You know, the longer you put it off, the harder it's going to be to get that hearing back in the future. So if you think there's a problem, right now we're doing free hearing evaluations. Call. We've got 20 offices here in Utah. Give us a call. We'll schedule it for a free evaluation in any of those offices, whatever's closest or most convenient for you. If we find during that appointment that there is a hearing loss that can be improved through the assistance of some therapy and hearing aids, we will let you try this brand new Widex Moment hearing aid or set of hearing aids risk-free for 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, you'll have access to discount pricing because you're going to give us some feedback on the hearing aids, and we'll also give you a gift card to the Home Depot as a thank you.
801-438-7058. It's that simple. Make that phone call. Let's get on the books. Let's get that free consultation, that free test, and see if this is right for you. 801-438-7058 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.